As a way of honoring the gospel, those of us who are able, please stand. I'll read from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat and wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is such a joy to be back and to be worshiping in this beautiful church and to meet so many beautiful people who have been so important in my life and with my family. And so I look forward to meeting those of you that I haven't met yet as well. So flag me down after the service and we'll have a good time. I wanted to also let you know that God has been so good to me and to my family and to allow me to come back for this annual conference and to share worship with you. The weather, on the other hand, has not been so good for my voice. This Ohio gal is not used to the winds on the ocean. And so if my voice kind of fluctuates, that's what's kind of happening here. So this morning we're going to look first at the scripture that was read for us, and then we're going to explore three different things that walking on the water might mean for us today. And then finally we're going to look today for God's unique call on our own lives. So I would ask if you would join me in a word of prayer. Loving God, I pray that you will open your word to us today and reveal something new to us, something that we can grab hold of for our own lives as we seek to become faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's the setting for today's text. Earlier in that day, Jesus had pulled the disciples aside and he said, "We're going to go on a retreat." Well, actually what he had said was, "Come away to a deserted place by yourselves for a while and rest." And I call that a retreat. But here's the problem. Jesus was being recognized everywhere he went by all the townsfolks. And they started crowding around him. And they were seeking healing and teaching. And Jesus saw their need and had compassion on them. So instead of a day of retreat, they had a day filled with teaching. And in the end, they had a crowd of 5,000 people that they fed with the loaves and fishes. Remember that story? So that's what's happened during the day. And then our text picks up what happens after that. It's been an exhausting day, and Jesus sends the disciples off into the boat without him. And it's interesting that in Matthew, this is the first time Jesus sends them off by themselves. They had been in a boat together when there was a storm on the lake. But Jesus was with them then, and this time they are by themselves in the boat. And midway through their journey, that boat starts getting smashed around by the waves because the wind was against it. So this brings us to the first of our things that we want to talk about what walking on the water might mean for us today. Walking on water means facing our fears and choosing to not let fear have the last word. I sometimes read this story And I place myself right alongside the disciples in that boat. In my mind's eye, I see their exhaustion as they fight the wind. I feel the seas and the rolling waves, and I watch as the disciples are pulling at the oars, and I remember thankfully that they are experienced fishermen, and they know how to keep the boat safe and afloat. Unlike me, for those of you who remember me, I get seasick just driving down Fairmont Avenue, so I would have been the one hanging over the edge of the boat with the seasick bag. So each of us knows what it means to get hit by the proverbial wave in our lives. Haven't there been times for all of us when we don't seem to be getting anywhere? Kind of that feeling of being stuck, despite how hard we work at it. And sometimes things in life that we can't make any headway against. Times when our lives feel rough or dangerous or utterly absorbing. Just staying afloat consumes all of our energy. And we ask God, "Where are you?" We feel left alone and afraid. We all have our own stories of the waves crashing, and we ask, how am I going to make it through this? In 1987, a young woman by the name of Emily Pearl Kingsley, a young mother in Australia, wrote a classic essay called Welcome to Holland. And in it, she wrote about having a child with a disability born into your family was like taking a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You get ready, you buy the guidebooks, you know, you're learning part of the language, you're looking for the art that you're going to see, and the plane lands, and the flight attendant says, "Welcome to Holland." Your flight plans have changed. You need new guidebooks, you need to learn a different language, and it's not that Holland is a bad place, it's just a different place. It can be a beautiful place because Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips and Holland even has art. But it leaves us dealing with the unexpected in our lives. When I encounter the unexpected in my life, I like to run to the Psalms. And Psalm 13:1 captures my feelings often. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So into the midst of these crashing waves walks Jesus, quite literally, right? He's walking on the water. Jesus' sudden, calm appearance in the midst of this roaring sea is unexpected. And the text tells us that his appearance frightens the disciples more than the high seas do. And I find that fascinating. I would have thought that they would have been scared of the seas, but they're experienced fishermen. So they may have been working really hard, but what scared them was seeing something off in the distance walking towards them. So what does Jesus do? Jesus, seeing their fear, calls out, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So Jesus comes not to show off by doing a miracle or walking on the water, but rather he comes to the aid of his threatened disciples. I love that we sang How Firm a Foundation as our opening hymn today. Verse 3 says, "When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress." Fear does not have the last word. So this brings us to the second of our things about walking on water. And walking on water means discovering and embracing the unique call of God in our own lives. In our text, we find Peter sitting in the boat, wanting to believe that it is Jesus out there and that help is on the way. And then he hears Jesus' voice, and Jesus says, "Come." What happens next is that Peter shows us what walking with Jesus can look like. Jesus says, "Come," and Peter jumps into the lake. Now, our own stories may be different. When I mentor people in ministry, the one thing that we all seem to have in common is that our first steps out of the boat are shaky and trembling. Walking with Jesus means we won't always have the most steady of footing. We will experience apprehension, because what God calls us to do in our walk with Him means following Jesus with steps into the unknown waters of the world. I often tell folks that I most often encounter God at the intersection where excitement and fear reside. At that intersection, I find God. We learn to trust that God has our footing under His control on a foundation that we cannot see, but that we have faith is there because God is there. Another interesting thing that caught my eye this week is that in this text, the boat is not where Jesus was. As fishermen, the boat was definitely what the disciples were the most familiar with. And for us, our boat is whatever makes us feel safe and keeps us safe and secure in our journey through life. The water can be a scary place to go. It may be dark or unpredictable. It may be filled with waves that knock us over at times. And it may be filled with creatures that we cannot see. The water is sometimes what we shelter ourselves from. But as we learn from this text, the irony is that's where Jesus was. So I ask myself, what is God calling to me to today? And this third thing that it brings us to is that me walking on the water means experiencing the power of God in our lives to do something that we would not be capable of doing on our own. Peter experienced God's unexpected power as he walked on the water. But I suspect Peter experienced God's power in other ways as well. For instance, the Bible skips something that I find very interesting. How did Jesus and Peter get back to the boat? The text tells us that Jesus reached down and pulled Peter up, and the next thing we know, they're in the boat together. But I'm really curious about what happened after that. He pulled him up. What was their conversation as they went back to the boat together? And what was Peter shaky? Did he become firm-footed? The scholars have suggested to us that the boat can be a metaphor for the church. In the medieval Latin, the word nave means in the church where the people sit. So you're in the nave, the root word of navy. So it goes back to boat. And the storms on the sea can be symbolic of the struggles that those early Christians were going to be facing. So I wonder if Jesus was talking with Peter as they walked back to the boat about how we, as the future disciples, were going to need to be willing to leave the safety of the boat, to leave our church boat, to leave the professions that we are familiar with, like the disciples left their fishermen professions, and to follow God's call into an unknown waters of a hurting world. Many of you know God's call came to me in a very real way 30 years ago when I was drowning in my own sea of grief and loss. Many of you know my story. My twin daughters were born prematurely, and they died at birth. And a caring hospital chaplain came alongside to be present with me. And that was my first exposure to the power of spiritual care in medicine. And as I healed, I knew God was calling me to be a part of it. What I have learned from this text is that the church does not live in the boat, but rather in the water. Yes, we come to the church boat. We come here to worship God. We come to fellowship together. And we come to be fed with communion. But if we never leave the boat, we miss out on the joys and the challenges and the authentic life of walking with Jesus into the unexpected places. When we dare to get a glimpse of the church as being in the water, we also see that following Jesus means going into areas that may be uncertain or unsafe or uncomfortable. And yet we go, trusting and knowing that Jesus is already there. So in closing, I ask you this morning, what is your boat? What is that piece of your life that represents safety and security for you? And when God calls you out of that boat to come and to walk with Him, what are you most afraid of? What keeps you from jumping into the water and running to Jesus? Almost every day in my ministry as a hospital chaplain, I meet people who are facing their personal storms and who ask where God is in times like these. In those moments, it is my greatest privilege in ministry to tell them that God is right here, that God specializes in walking through storms with us. And I believe that God is the one who intersects the paths of His children so that we may walk together and find comfort and hope and joy along the journey. I believe Jesus calls each of us, like Peter, to step out courageously, even if it be on unsteady footing, to search the raging seas of our community for the place where God is already at work, and to run out there to join God there. God has called us to be the hands and feet in the waters of the world, sharing God's hope and God's love and God's joy. I hope that you will join me on this journey. It's a great one. Let us pray. Loving and powerful God, we've come today to this, our church boat at CUMC, perhaps feeling pounded in some way by the winds and the waves of our own lives. And as we struggle to stay afloat, we see you walking to us, calling us to come, to join you in a walk of faithful discipleship out on the waters. God, feed us today through your Holy Communion. We choose to look at you instead of the waves, and we choose to leave the safety of the church boat and to walk with you into a life of service in unknown waters. Thank you for being our faithful guide and companion as we fight the winds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.